Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Tom, this is episode 200.
Woo-woo. What a party.
My gosh, we got there. Some said we never would do it, but they never said that to our faces, so we weren't aware of that fact.
Oh, who's been saying this?
I don't know. Do you remember for the 20th episode, we celebrated that?
I know. We were so naive.
So long ago. Unbelievable. Episode 200. So we're in a celebratory mood for this, but the real celebrations are going to be on Friday when we do proper Facebook Live Watchers Quiz 200th birthday celebrations.
That's a catchy title.
Yes, I think we should work on that.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yes. So we'll be doing that at 12:30 on Friday, as we almost always do. I was going to say we always are on at 12:30, but sometimes we've had to juggle around.
Real world concerns.
That's right. But
don't they know we've got a quiz to do?
Who do these people think they are? Definitely 12:30 this Friday on Facebook we will be celebrating. It's going to be good. But I do have a celebratory quiz for you today. I mean,
I like the sound of that.
Today, just for you.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. Despite the forecast for torrential rain this weekend, the Donut Rolling Down Hilly Hill competition will go ahead. Organisers said that while there is concern that the delicious treats will disintegrate with all the raindrops falling out of the sky and the potential that the cinnamon sugar coatings will melt and make everything slippery, again, it's more important that we all have fun and learn something along the way. So if you do want to take part, bring along your half dozen donuts. We recommend a dozen so you can eat half. Label them so that the officials at the bottom of the hill know who's a who's and are able to correctly identify and announce the winner. We do not want a repeat of last year's schmozzle. The stars of England's Escape to the Country will be in town this week as the program records an episode out in our countryside. Jessica and Melvin Tukumplay are wanting to sell their news agency, complete with the flat above the shop, and move to a quieter location. The program is in its 345th season and has run out of places in the UK to showcase, so it's our turn. It's all very exciting. Angelina, the astrologer and astronomer, will be running classes later in the month that explain and explore the differences between two words starting with A that look at the stars. She's become an expert in both as people always get them mixed up and keep coming to her for help in both fields. Now she can help everyone out. Good on you, Angelina. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
I've got quite a few news stories. I don't have any trailers, but I think you've got a trailer, right?
I've got one trailer. I've got a handful of good news stories, things that made me go, whew, pleased. And I've got a fun fact.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to that fun fact. And also these stories that make you go, whew, it's kind of like things that make you go, but in a more positive manner, right?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Nice. Well,
kick it off. Do a.
All right. So the first one, and this is almost old news now that we're recording, but it was not long after we recorded last week. Disney Plus Day is November 12th. And, you know, that's their two-year anniversary of being live. And here is a list of some of the stuff coming on that day, that specific day.
Okay.
Streaming premiere of Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Yes.
That's when you'll be watching it.
Jungle Cruise available to all subscribers.
Cool.
New Disney Plus original movie, Home Sweet Home Alone, a reimagining of the popular holiday franchise.
So, wait, a reimagining, does that mean they're rebooting or is this another one in the series? Only time will tell,
who
I guess.
Who knows?
Yeah, we'll find out. Last one
I saw had Scarlett Johansson as the older sister.
I obviously dipped out way before that.
There's an all-new original series of shorts called Olaf Presents. which is the Frozen Snowman retelling several classic Disney tales as only he can.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of kids rewatching that over and over and over again.
Yes, there's also another fan favorite short called Frozen Fever, Oscar-winning shorts Feast and Paper Man, right, and a Mickey Mouse show that was also an Oscar-nominated called Get a Horse, an animated short film from Pixar called Ciao, Alberto.
Oh, that's short character from Luca, yeah.
Yes, yes. A new short from The Simpsons that pays tribute to Disney Plus's marquee brands. Now, they've been doing a few of those.
Yeah, that's fun.
One that was a Star Wars one.
That's cool.
The first five episodes from season two of The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
Ooh, that's good. That feels like ages ago. That's great.
A special celebrating the origins and legacy of Star Wars legendary bounty hunter Boba Fett.
Yes, thank you. So we're going to be watching that.
We will get the first trailer of the Boba Fett show, which is coming in December.
Awesome.
A special celebrating the Marvel Cinematic Universe on Disney Plus with an exciting look towards the future. Hawkeye starts like the week after that, so we'll get some Hawkeye. I'm sure they'll show off some of She-Hulk and Ms. Marvel and definitely some surprises.
That's cool.
And then, yeah, and then something called Dope Sick, which is an original series starring Michael Keaton, released in international markets as part of Star General Entertainment content offering.
Yeah, okay, so that's it, part of the Star section. I don't know how I've missed any of that because his name has been out and about in the news lately.
So much.
How did we miss that? So that's exciting that it's a surprise Keaton for Nasons. Us. Yeah, it really is, Keaton isn't Nasons. It? It really yes. is.
Disney Plus will also be having the global launches in South Korea, Taiwan, and Hong Kong.
What a time to jump in because there's so much in there now. My goodness, they'll be able to binge everything.
Yeah, and that just drops all on one day.
Insane. That's so exciting. Well, my first story that I found that I thought would probably tie in quite nicely is that Diego Luna has been speaking about Andor, revealed a few little bits because that will be coming out in 2022. He executive produced it, which I keep forgetting about, but so he's quite involved in the 12 episode first season. Who knows how far back it goes because Rogue One is where it will finish, I assume. So I'm not sure if it's just a one season. But he revealed that you'll definitely see familiar faces. And
K2SO.
Yeah, I hope so, right?
It's got to be.
What I thought was really funny, he says, no matter what I say, I can't ruin the ending. I thought that was good. But as a lot of series that we're starting to get now, it was filmed during the pandemic. And he said it was a hardcore moment to be out there shooting. He said, but we were really lucky, you know, the shooting's all done and it's now just getting ready for audiences to see it. So this is one where I'm going to definitely watch Rogue One beforehand just to get myself reintroduce his storyline before I start watching the season.
Sure. Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good one.
Because I did enjoy Rogue One.
Rogue One was very good, and Rogue One was probably, out of the newer Star Warses, probably one of the more adult shows, movies, I should say.
By far the one I've enjoyed the most.
Yeah, because the stakes were real and it just tied in so nicely and gave something to the Star Wars storyline that you didn't know you wanted, but you're glad you got it.
Yeah, and it wasn't more fucking space wizard lightsaber. It wasn't any grand fantasy story. It was a bunch of scumbags.
Just trying to help out, yeah. Yeah. So lots to get excited about over in Disney and the Star Wars world, which is really cool.
Nice. Well, look, keeping it at Disney, but at Disneyland.
Yes.
So Disneyland and therefore Magic Kingdom and the other ones around and stuff have been updating rides to make themselves more appropriate for the modern times. So that started with the Pirates of the Caribbean no longer auctioning off the wenches or not chasing the women around. And then in Jungle Cruise has taken out Trader Sam and the indigenous tribes attacking and things like that, changed them up. They have now announced that a spin through Toontown, or Toontown Spin, which is the Who Framed Roger Rabbit ride in the middle of Toontown, which traditionally, or up to now, you jump in Benny the Cab and you retrace some of the moments from the film and stuff. It's pretty madcap. It's a bit of fun. They are going to be retooling that to tone down Jessica Rabbit.
Right. Okay.
Because she's too much.
Toned down in terms of appearance or what she says?
Well, they're going to change the storyline, which is actually, this sounds like it could be pretty cool. So the books, the three Roger Rabbit books. So I've read the first two. I never got to the third one. I don't know why. I enjoy them. They're very weird. Jessica is a lot more adult in the books. I'm trying to dance. She might have done some really inappropriate acting at some point.
Okay, right, okay, yes.
So obviously Disney doesn't want to touch on any of that sort of stuff, so they're moving further away from that.
Yeah.
But she's also wickedly smart and dabbles in becoming a PI, you know, working with Bob Hoskins, Eddie Valiant's character. She gets invested in that. So the ride is going to become now we're helping her solve a case. And so she's in the big trench coat and the fedora downside. It looks pretty cool.
And also the fact that it is changing it up just means that whether it's appropriate or, you know, whether it was appropriate or not, this new change means that people who have done that ride before now have something new to experience when they go into the park, which I think is really cool.
Big time. That is called plussing. And that Walt Disney started that in, I think, so if Disneyland, I think, opened in 55 or 65, something like that, 2 years after it opened or something, he was walking around and he heard a mum say to a kid say, "Mum, I want to go on the Jungle Cruise." She said, "No, we went on that last time. We don't need to." And that's when he realized that he needed to revamp and update and that things would never be done.
Mm.
And it's pretty cool that, you know, it's now shifted from just entertainment to inclusion and, you know, good reasons to change things up.
Yeah.
Rather than just keeping things because that's how they always were.
Yeah.
Making it now so everyone can enjoy it.
Oh, my gosh. You've got so much you can go and see now when you're allowed to go over to the US again.
Boy, I can't wait.
Jeez, you're going to be busy. How are you even going to cope? But in the meantime,
I don't know, but you're going to have some co-hosts then.
Oh yeah.
Sassier than Peppa Pig. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
I saw that Netflix has already said that their series Bridgerton was the most watched original series that they've ever had, which is crazy because they released some pretty interesting data that shows that the large majority of those who actually watched the first episode were there till the very end. And I wouldn't think that'd be a thing that a lot of series get to enjoy. So they're...
I've not seen that show. Is it like a ye olde thirst trap?
I think it's kind of... Oh, I don't know how much we should comment based on the fact that we don't know. That's what I was going to say. It's a touch of the Jane Austens, I think, as well.
Mm.
I think. So... their numbers, right, for Bridgerton, 625 million hours of viewing within the first 4 weeks of that series being released is crazy. That means it is at the top of hours watched of their original programming. Second is Money Heist with 619 million. That makes sense, particularly because Oh, actually, that only includes part four. Part five has already come out, so they haven't even included that. That's crazy. Stranger Things, of course, is number three, and the third season of Stranger Things in particular, 582 million hours of that show watched. Just crazy. Then The Witcher, 13 Reasons Why, you've got You in there, and a couple of the other Stranger Things and Money Heist seasons are right up there as well. Funnily enough, though, when I look at Stranger Things and Money Heist, the original seasons are not the ones that have had the most hours viewed. Why? Because surely if you were to watch Money Heist Part 4, you would have to have watched the first season to understand what the hell was going on. Are people rewatching it?
Could it be that some people had bought the DVD and watched it separately before they moved to Netflix? Maybe they watched the first season at a friend's house?
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe they're just fucking psycho and they decide, I'm going to join this show at season three, which I cannot fathom doing, but I imagine people do.
Yeah, okay.
People would do that all the time.
Well,
what's this? Season four, episode eight of Lost.
Cool.
Sure.
I'll start it.
Sure. Wait, what?
Oh, it's madness.
I particularly picked an episode that would be very difficult to try and work out what's going on with that show.
Yeah, right, okay. Can you give us a clue as to what happens?
There's some time travel, okay. And there's a giant wheel under the earth that gets turned and someone's in a polar environment and then suddenly falls into a desert.
Of course. Of course. I don't know why I asked you. That makes total sense. What else have you got?
I haven't made a big secret that I haven't kept up with Doctor Who for the last little bit. Yeah. Jodie Whittaker is fine, but I really don't enjoy the showrunner. The writing on the show, it's just not connecting for me, which is a shame because I like John Bishop, the new guy coming up. I quite like him. I still can't be bothered. I was thrilled this week to see that Russell T Davies is coming back as the showrunner. Now, he's the man that revived Doctor Who, brought back with Christopher Eccleston, was there through the David Tennant years, handed over, I think, partway through, if not at the beginning of Matt Smith's run.
Okay.
But like really peak good stuff, and his stuff always paid off. I love the Stephen Moffat years as well, but there were a lot of dangling threads that maybe didn't get resolved as strongly as they could have.
Yeah, it's frustrating. So are you going to, what are you going to do? Are you just going to jump back in, or are you going to watch a couple of the episodes just to get an idea, or are you going to read notes?
When he takes over, it'll be a new Doctor.
Yep.
So that's when I'm joining.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah.
Between doctors, it doesn't matter. So
Oh,
I don't know.
That's cool. So that will be the 14th Doctor. Yeah, the 14th Doctor.
14th Doctor, yes. And that will still be a way off because there's a whole other series still to come and some specials and things, and then they've got to do the handover. They haven't announced the new Doctor. Where's the way off? So Russell T Davies is like, look, I'm excited to be taking over, but there's a whole season for me to watch as a fan first. Let's chill out, everybody. Be cool, my babies.
Stop getting so excited.
I have not seen a single negative word from fans about it. I'm sure there are some people. It's overwhelmingly positive, this news.
That's going to breathe a whole lot of life back into that show, like a show that's already incredibly popular. So
it was on such an upwards trajectory from Eccleston through David Tennant through Matt Smith. Peter Capaldi was really good, but it was a bold choice getting an older guy who had a thick, thick, thick accent.
Yeah, yeah.
And that turned off a lot of America.
Of course.
Similarly, a lot of people didn't enjoy the perceived wokeness of having a lady.
Yeah. I remember, I can't remember what program it was, but it was an Aussie show and they kind of did like this mockumentary. It was just like quick 3-minute thing video about how upset some people were that the doctor was a woman. It was really funny. It was very funny. But yeah, I mean, people were actually upset because the doctor was a woman, because people don't know how to cope with life.
They're the real killers who turn the lights off on Tony Soprano. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I got a couple of casting news updates, tidbits. Yeah. So Kim Cattrall's going to star in a comedy with Robert De Niro called About My Father. This is inspired by the life of stand-up comedian, American comedian Sebastian Maniscalco, who has not done too much TV and movie stuff. You mainly would just know his face from stand-up specials. So it's going to be about his dad, who is like an old school Italian immigrant father. That's going to be Robert De Niro, who wants to spend a weekend with his son's new girlfriend's family, who are like all American. So it's like, ha ha ha, look at the two cultures clashing.
Meet the fucker original idea.
Exactly what I was like. I was just thinking it's Meet the Fockers. Surely that's all it is, but with Italian accents. So we'll see how that goes. That's why she's very busy and can't possibly be part of any Sex and the City remake. Do you remember Susan Sarandon has a daughter who's also an actress? Her name is Eva. They would do stuff. They would be in stuff together. Early 2000s, I feel like.
Sure.
There was a time where they were doing bits and pieces together. Well, they're going to be in a new show. I can't wrap my head around it. So it's a series for Fox. It's called Monarch, and it's going to be a drama musical. And when I heard that, I was like, what on earth is this going to be? And then I read two words, country music. So it's about a family of country music stars and their life and stuff. So if they're going to sing, I really hope that there's going to be some sort of moment where Susan Sarandon sings a country version of Touch Me from Rocky Horror Picture Show. I'll be happy with that.
I just want to put this entire idea in a rock and shoot it straight into
well,
the sun.
You're not a fan of musicals. And then the fact that it's a TV show series about it with country music, I reckon it's going to be popular in America.
Yes, I'm sure it will do well. And I'm sure Hayden Panettiere, who is the cheerleader on Heroes.
She'll be in it. Yeah, she'll be in it.
She'll be in it.
Guest star.
Maybe Terry Hatcher can come on for a cameo role.
I would like to see a Kelly Clarkson episode where she comes in and sings on stage with them.
I want Lizzo to be the unexpected new town vagrant.
Beautiful.
Who's this person sneaking around town? Well, she can sing.
And they're like, oh, we would have noticed her because she's wearing so much glitter. She's wearing so many rhinestones and sequins, but in this place, everybody does.
Do you hear flute?
And that's all the casting news that I have for today.
All right. Well, speaking of places I would love to go when we're allowed. Mm-hmm. Not been to Detroit, but I'd like to go to Detroit. Do you know why?
Why?
Eminem comes from Detroit.
Yes.
And he's always funneling money back into the community and trying to do stuff. Well, he's opening a new restaurant, isn't he? Opening a bloody restaurant. What sort of restaurant would Eminem open?
Well, obviously, first thing on the menu is Mum's Spaghetti, right?
That's what it's called.
Yes!
He's
oh, my gosh, it's
restaurant
amazing.
That serves different ways of eating spaghetti, and that's it.
That's amazing. That is brilliant. I've got so much time for this.
Yes. Above there will be a merch store where you can go and buy all sorts of Eminem stuff. So it feels like maybe this could be a merchandising stunt or a promotional stunt. Maybe there's a new album coming.
I don't care.
Whatever, dude.
I don't care.
Keep that going. That is great. That could be a chain. I could see that taking off. I would go and buy a tasty, well-made spaghetti sandwich all the time. I love a spaghetti toastie.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a fun idea. And you could get your, like, if it's a merch place, you get a t-shirt that says Mum Spaghetti or Mom Spaghetti on it with, like, whatever you ate, like, because they'll have different ones depending on what's on the menu, and you could get a t-shirt of that. I'd buy it.
And maybe the design is pre-stained.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yep.
It's got to have some of that. Maybe if you vomit, flex.
Oh, that's so good. Do you know, I think Guy Fieri would like to go there. He'd do an episode.
Guy Fieri, I imagine, will be there for the opening.
Yeah.
And I'm Guy Fieri. I'm going to eat some Mom Spaghetti.
And Kid Rock, who I think it might be from Detroit as well or around there, he's not invited.
He is. He might be. They used to be.
Are they mates? Okay.
I don't think they're mates. They've done songs together and they've done stuff beating up Detroit. But they have very, very different views on the world.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Someone who is from Detroit, I'm pretty sure, but probably won't go, but would be awesome if she did. Madonna was born in Detroit. I'm sure she was. At least Michigan. But I mean, that's a whole state.
From that accent she pretends to have.
Yeah. I just remember French and Saunders making a lot of fun of her British accent the whole time she was married to Guy Ritchie. And it was such a running joke that they made fun of it in skits and sketches where they weren't even talking about her. And then suddenly they just bring it up and you're like, yeah, it is dumb. Yeah. So observant. Have you got a trailer?
I do have one trailer and it's just a brief one. We'll move past it, but I'm very excited for it because I thought this show was dead. But there is another Hulu Marvel animated series coming in November. Of course, I enjoyed MODOK earlier this year with Patton Oswalt. This show is called Hit Monkey.
Hit Monkey, like as in, yes. Hitman?
Yes.
Cool.
So I'm going to summarize this show real quick for you from the comic. Imagine Kill Bill.
Yes.
But instead of the bride, it stars, you know, those Japanese monkeys that sit in hot baths?
Yeah, in the snow, yep.
So a hitman has been fatally wounded and he's escaping up the mountain and he's taking shelter near one of those baths. And a monkey helps him out, and the assassins that were hunting the hitman then come through and kill all the monkeys apart from this one that helped.
Oh, no.
And the assassin, or the hitman dies in the spring, and his ghost hangs out to teach the monkey how to get revenge. And the monkey gets a tuxedo and jumps through the air, firing four guns at once.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
Monkey doesn't talk.
It's like John Wick kind of stuff, right?
Yes. Okay. It's like 70s sure. Blaxploitation revenge fantasy starring a Japanese monkey in a tuxedo, and he becomes one of the best assassins in the world.
Okay. I don't want to like encroach in stuff that we've been watching, but could it be one of those, if you like Star Wars Visions, you will like this?
I think so. Okay. I think so. It looks much more anime in style. And so Jason Sudeikis,
yep,
is the hitman who dies and is the ghost, the mentor for him. Olivia Munn is in it. George Takei.
Cool. I like her. She's very funny.
Yes. So I'm very here for this. It's gonna be real brutal.
So that's on Hulu. Will that be on Disney here? Do you know?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Or actually, maybe.
Because where was MODOK? Right. I thought MODOK was on.
MODOK was on Disney here.
That's
we could get
thought.
It on Disney.
Yeah.
So your Hit Monkey will go there. It may end up being part of Star or something.
Oh, yeah. Because it's a bit adult.
I imagine it'll be. Yeah, it's a bit adult. So that's in November as well.
Oh, gosh, we've got so much to look forward to. I can hear festive sounds. They're getting louder. Or is it just the introduction to Tom's fun facts?
Very nice. I enjoyed that.
Me too. Good, that was great. There. Thank you so much.
What a party.
Yeah.
So today's one, I've been busy this week rearranging some things around home, including organizing some action figures, taking stuff out of boxes and stuff. And it got me thinking about films I used to love. Mm. One of the first films that I was truly obsessed with, of seeing the cinema and stuff, was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm of that age. I'm the right age.
Yep. Wait, was the first one with Corey Feldman as one of the voices, or is that the second?
Yes.
That's the first, or both?
It's the first one, yes. Okay. So I have a two-pronged fun fact.
Ooh.
So Judith Hogue plays April O'Neil.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Williams is not involved in the film at all, but he's a huge fan of the franchise. And he provided Judith Hogue with information regarding her character through his comic book collection. The two were co-starring in Cadillac Man when the Turtles film went into production. So any part of April O'Neil nailing her comic book accuracy, you got to attribute to Robin Williams. That's so perfect. That's so awesome.
Yeah, that's really fun. Cadillac Man. I have to remember what Cadillac Man was about.
I've not seen that one.
I'm not sure if I have either.
It's either a man who owns a Cadillac or, and I'm about to be a lot more interested, a man who turns into a Cadillac died and his ghost is in a Cadillac.
Let me find the synopsis. I think it's very important we know. This is straight from Wikipedia. So Queen's car salesman, Jerry O'Brien, played by Robin Williams, must deal with the ever-increasing pressures in his life. He has an ex-wife, demanding alimony, a daughter who's missing, a married mistress, played by Fran Drescher, and a single mistress, played by Laurie Petty. What is this casting? Who are both desperately in love with him, and a two-day deadline to either sell 12 cars or lose his job. In addition, he has an outstanding loan to a mafia don who must, and he must either quickly repay or lose his life. Gosh.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of work.
I realize I derailed your fun fact, but
that's all right. I will give you the second half of it now.
Yes, please.
So the turtle costumes were incredibly cumbersome, and to help disguise how slow the turtles' costumes and movements were, dialogue scenes were shot at 23 frames per second, so that when they were played at the normal speed of 24 frames per second, they appeared a bit sharper. For the same reason, fight scenes were shot at 22 or 23 frames per second.
To make it look faster.
Yeah, because it was just so difficult to move in the turtle suits.
Because they look kind of, I don't know, spongy or whatever.
Yeah.
That spongy so material is.
I seriously considered, there was a Hollywood auction 2 years ago that I was following, and I seriously considered going all in on the original, or one of, I think, six original Donatello costumes. But it got up to like $9,000. No, I can't.
No, that's a lot.
I couldn't fit in it. If I could fit in it, it's a very different thing.
I'm sure
because
that those.
Then I'm dressing as a turtle most days.
I'm sure that those turtle costumes are not as tall as you. They can't be. They would all have been shorter, surely.
Yeah.
Has to be. That is that I really enjoyed all of those prongs of the fun fact, and also the fact
and
that you're rearranging
you
stuff.
Cadillac Man.
I want to go watch Cadillac Man. And I want to go and watch fight scenes from the original Turtles movies now, just to have a look, see what it looks like, see if I can tell.
Oh, for sure. And like, I don't need to rewatch it, but I already know some parts where I can pick. Of any time they go to eat pizza, it looks weird. The pizza dripping looks weird, but
yes,
they look normal. So I'm like, okay, I know what. Yeah,
they're enormous turtle hands as well, holding pizza. It's very messy. It's now time for
got a watching suggestion. Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So we mentioned it really quickly, Star Wars Visions, a show that I have absolutely a fun time watching one episode at a time and then walking away.
Now, they're tiny little episodes, aren't they? Because I will admit now, I completely forgot. I went in Disney Plus Wednesday night to watch What If and then forgot to go back. I downloaded all the Visions, so it's there waiting.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so this is the... Oh gosh, there was talk, and I didn't delve into it because it was a Reddit thread, and I was like, I'm not doing this. But there was talk about whether this would be part of the actual Star Wars canon or not. But yes. Then I think because it's on Disney, it would be, because Disney owns Star Wars, therefore it's immediately part of the Star Wars canon. But it's all different anime or animations by Japanese either animators or animation houses, and they are set in different parts of the Star Wars galaxy doing different things. The first one looks amazing, mainly in black and white, a few little color, I think it's just red here and there, very stylized. If you like anime, I mean, this whole thing is right up your alley for sure. But if you liked that Netflix show Love, Death and Robots,
mm-hmm.
It's that kind, for me, that's what I felt. It was that kind of show.
Did you ever see the Animatrix back in the day?
Oh, yeah, years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it's reminding of that. Now, that was only one film, but that was, I think, 8 different animation companies telling short stories in the world of the Matrix.
Yep.
Is it that kind of thing?
Yep, absolutely. Awesome. I think I like them more now, and I don't know why, but at the moment, this is the kind of thing that I like, where you can watch a story that, particularly Star Wars and anime, you know, the Matrix one as well, where you can watch it. It's in a world that you understand, and you know that that story doesn't need to connect to anything else necessarily. You just enjoy it. You're like, that was fun.
It's a bit of they used to do these expanded universe stories of, like, you know, short stories set in Jabba the Hutt's palace.
Yep, it's that
and
kind
it
of thing.
It was a book that, you know, huge 500-page book of, you know, here's the story of how Boba Fett survived in the Sarlacc pit and Dengar the bounty hunter came and fished him out. And then that was canon for years, and then Disney bought it and said, that's not canon anymore.
Oh, it's all very this distressing.
Stuff. So I'm stoked that they're going to start doing those stories that plug in.
Yep.
But just like we were saying with Rogue One, it's nice when something we understand how it relates.
Yep.
But it's not, you know, huge mythologically important.
Yeah.
Piece of information or something. It's just.
I'm just enjoying
fun
it.
Characters.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying it, and I don't need to remember how Kylo Ren fits in with this bit. Like, you don't need to. It's just not a thing. It's great. It's sitting there and you can watch them in little small segments. It's great.
Easy. Very nice.
A wise man once leant over and whispered in my ear, "We tweet, therefore we are." Profound and a little creepy. Follow the Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1. They aren't creepy. I promise.
An unusual one for me to throw out here, but IGN... So this week was anniversary of Lost, mm-hmm. again, always rolls around on the 23rd of September. IGN put out a video called How Lost Changed TV Fandom Forever.
Mm.
A little 20-minute documentary, but very well produced. And rather than focusing on the show, it entirely focuses on all the expanded universe media, you know, the podcasts that fans started, as well as the official podcasts, video clues, the ARGs that I had a hand in, things, I think. I don't know, just a very cool, we have often talked about how there's not too many water cooler shows anymore, and there's not the break in between episodes. Yeah. Disney Plus is doing it. Amazon does it a bit, spreading things out. But you still watch it at your own time, your own leisure. It's not, you've got to be there at 8 o'clock on Thursday night so that you can talk for the next week or you missed out.
I would say the last one was probably Game of Thrones.
Yes, and it addresses that in the show of, like, that collectively seems to have been the last one that worked for. Other shows have done this stuff, but Lost was the right place, right time. Internet was just firing up. It was pre-social media, but kind of trained people how to use social media. If you watched Lost at all, and especially if you enjoyed any of the things that went around it, even the video game gets a mention, all this sort of stuff. Well worth a check out over on IGN, 20 minutes long. Very cool to see Jay and Jack and a bunch of other podcasters from back in the day. And my face was never used in the campaign, so that's all good. but there is a shot when they're talking about real world stuff of my trash Photoshop skills in 2007.
Really?
Of a poster that I made went and stuck up in the rocks and the harbour bridges in the background. And yeah, wow. Gets Kiro-shotted for a while. And they're like, that's hilarious. I forget that I made that.
I'm definitely watching this. So you just Google IGN Lost.
Yep. Probably. TV fandom or something like that. Yeah, it'll come up. It was only so posted cool. Like a day or two ago.
Oh, that's so cool.
So it was, I don't know. It's interesting that we're already starting to get a look back on how social media has changed entertainment digestion habits and consumption and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, wow. As soon as I see
you,
it.
I didn't bring that up. Just to plug the fact that a poster was in there that I made.
But that's the bit that hooked me, right? That's the bit that hooked me. It's funny that you were talking about things that, you know, shows that come out weekly and we don't get a lot of that. And you mentioned Amazon because you know how Mick a few weeks ago was talking about Nine Perfect Strangers, the one with Nicole Kidman, that she filmed up near Byron Bay or in Byron Bay, up there somewhere. And
at his friend's house.
Yeah, at his friend's.
They built a hot tub.
Yeah. And that hop. So I started watching it and I've watched the whole season, right? And that hot tub features quite often in quite a few different episodes. And I enjoyed it every single time I saw it, being like, and that's not supposed to be.
Were you doing the Leonardo DiCaprio in Django hand? It's not Django, it's Wolf of Wall Street.
That's it. But, oh my God, you know how Nicole Kidman can sometimes act super creepy?
Yes.
And you're like, oh, does she know she's being creepy? She's being creepy. Is that just how Nicole Kidman is normally? And the answer is no. She's playing a very creepy. I've found this character so creepy and unsettling. You know how there's a lot of shows and books and movies at the moment, or have been maybe for the past 10 years, where there is a really, I can't remember the term, but there's a character in there who is one of or is the main character, but you can't trust their reality or what they're telling you.
Like an unreliable narrator.
Thank you. Yeah. And that, I mean, she's not necessarily the narrator, but you do get some of her flashbacks and whatnot. And there are points in it where you're like, I don't know if that's true. I don't trust anything that comes out of this woman's mouth or her flashbacks. And it's so intriguing because you're like, where on earth is this story going? How much of it is real versus how much of it is almost like a hallucination? It's just, it was compelling. I was waiting for all of the weird things to happen. That it could have been that there were potential murders that could have happened. There were potential attempted murders. It was, and you're just trying to guess who's where and what. Are those teeth real? And the answer is no, in case you're thinking about the Instagram, for the Instagram influencer character, her teeth are not real. I had to Google that. Weird show, but I couldn't stop watching it, Tom. I couldn't stop. I had to wait for the last two episodes because they were coming out, you know, like I had to wait for Amazon to release them. I was like, hurry up. I just want to know what on earth happens here. I thought it was way better than I thought it was going to be honest with you. I didn't think it was going to be my kind of show.
You seem very into it.
Oh, I think it was just because I didn't know what on earth was going on, who to believe, who not to believe. Asha Keddie's in it. I mean, she's just amazing and quietly, right? It's not a secret. Nicole Kidman's had a bit of work done, right? And sometimes that hinders her acting, I think we can say, because you can't always tell what facial expression she's using. Asha Keddie has not. Every single emotion that her character needed to portray, you could see on her face because her face was not stuck. It's not frozen, but yeah, it's on Amazon Prime. If you want to go and watch it, it's set in Australia. It's supposed to be in America, but I constantly, like, there are gum trees everywhere. Like, you constantly keep thinking it's Australia. There are a lot of gum trees in America,
you know.
Yeah, I know, especially in California and whatnot. Oh, I forgot to say, Jason from The Good Place is in it as well.
Well, you should have led with that.
Sorry. Almost forgot. I was like, what's the bit that I need to tell Tom? That was it. Yeah. Based on a book by the same author who wrote Big Little Lies. So it makes sense why Nicole Kidman was connected to it. But what a show. Tom, what else did you watch?
Well, I watched something that we talked about a little while ago. And on paper, you'd be like, oh, but Tom's going to really love that. And then I watched it. And it's a pale imitation. I watched Frogger.
Yeah.
On Peacock.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about this, it's a combination of Wipeout and The Floor is Lava?
Yeah. I mean, the trailer, we spoke about the trailer. It looked fun. It looked great. I'm disappointed.
It does look fun. I only watched the first episode. And maybe they were just still finding the chemistry. Damon Wayans Jr. is one of the commentators. And the other guy, I don't know who they were. I don't know. They weren't as funny. The course is amazing.
It looked good.
But, like, people get decked pretty hard because it's all about you've got to jump and slam onto the next platform. You fall in the water, you drown. You get three lives, so you get three goes. I will watch another episode or two. I'm not saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I had very high hopes.
So you
but I blame think, that on Floor is Lava during yeah, the pandemic.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So you think it was the hosting that let the show down?
So on The Floor is Lava, they don't cross to the dude commentating. He's
Never.
Just in a commentating box and
yeah.
he shows up at the very end to give the prize
yep.
and that's it. Whereas this one, Wipeout style, they keep crossing to the two hosts. And I don't know about the other guy, but Damon Wayans Jr. has clearly never done commentating before.
Okay.
He's an actor.
Yeah.
And so instead of having someone who's a presenter, it feels like maybe they've got a presenter and an actor. And I don't know. I'll get it. As I say, I'm going to give it another couple of episodes and I'm sure it'll get better. Maybe they get some different writers with some better jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think the other part, and this is minor squabbling. Mm. But on Floor is Lava, you go in that lava, you're gone.
Yeah, you're dead.
And they never show you again.
You're never you're spoken dead. Of.
No. Frogger, you get three lives.
Yeah.
So you go in the water and then you get to go back to the beginning of the course and start again. And it's like, okay, I get what you're going for the video game thing, but it removes the stakes that are there on Floor is Lava. Floor is Lava, you fuck up and you're done.
Yeah.
That's it. You get one shot.
Yeah.
Frogger, three goes. Yeah.
Like you said, it makes sense. It's a video game. That's the three lives and you're out. But does it almost feel like a bit repetitive because of those extra lives?
A little bit. And there's only two people going through the course at once.
Okay.
And so someone goes, falls in the water straight away. Other person goes, gets through a bit. First person goes, falls in the water again straight away. You know what I mean?
The logistics aren't exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it another episode or two. Because
yeah.
It still looks fun and it's a dumb show.
It's a dumb and show.
I didn't watch it with Shay. If I watch it with Shay, I might end up loving it. She might think it's hilarious.
Yeah. And that might help you enjoy it a bit more as well.
There we go. So not saying it's bad. Yes, just saying the first episode didn't quite land in the way that I hoped.
Are you giving another chance?
Yeah.
That's good. To celebrate our 200th episode, right, I've decided to make the quiz a Who Am I based on who was born on this day.
Oh, okay.
So I've based it on the 30th of September, which is when this episode comes out.
All right, 30th of September. It's 30 days has September.
That's right.
We all know that. We all think about that every time we've got a...
Every single time?
Every single time.
You got to try and not say it out loud every single time. but usually we do. Born on this day in 1957. So you just jump in as soon as you figure out who this is, right? In Queens, New York City. Had a bit of night fever on the disco floor before becoming the help in their own sitcom in the 90s. Very famous for their voice.
Is it Olivia Newton-John? No.
Not Olivia Newton-John.
John Travolta.
No. Born in Queens. Had their own sitcom where they played the help. They were the help.
The nanny, Fran Drescher.
Fran Drescher. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, you threw me off my game there. That was a good one.
Yeah. That was the first proper actor that I was like, no, we're never going to get that. We're never going to get that. Oh, yeah, we get that. We'd be able to guess that one. All right, this one's a little harder, but see how you go.
It's okay, a little harder.
Well, it was harder for me. Born in 1961, this actor is from the US, was one of Sean Penn's mates in the movie Fast Time at Ridgemont High, was pretty interested in time travel, but time travel was not interested in them. That's probably the biggest clue. Had to wear this big face prosthetic when they played Schur's kid in the movie called Mask. Probably is not a fan of Michael J. Fox.
No. This guy gives a heart-stopping performance in Pulp Fiction,
that's
correct?
Right. That's it. You got it. Yes.
Close personal friend, Eric Stoltz.
That's it.
Very good. He's quite a serious guy, you know.
Yeah. Did you ever see that episode of Movies That Made Us about...
Yes, with the footage.
Yeah.
With the footage.
And it felt like the rest of the production and the director and whatnot were just kind of exacerbated. They were like, why is he not getting it? It's not a serious movie.
We almost lived in the darkest timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric Stoltz. Born in 1971. This is a quick one, right? American actor. Was in a sitcom for a while, playing like this free-spirited sort of hippie person in the late 90s, early 2000s, currently fights the dead.
Is it Jenna Elfman?
It's Jenna Elfman, that's right. They're the only two things I really know her from, and that's enough. Born in 1982, was a child actor for a while until they grew up, but still does acting. Was in a drama playing one of five siblings in the 90s, was kind of a cool but yet mean teen in a teen movie, and was also in a teen parody movie back in the early 2000s.
Is it Lacey Sherbert?
Yes, that's right, Sherbert, I like to call her. Should we say Sherbert?
One of my very earliest crushes.
Was that because of Mean Girls or was that because of Not Another Teen Movie?
Party of Five.
Oh, Party of Five, okay.
She's 2 years older than me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
So it was very appropriate for me to have a crush on her on Party of Five.
I'm impressed you watched Party of Five. Impressive. All right, here's another one born in 1982. This is another actor, has lots of siblings, and a couple of those siblings are actors too. In fact, their brother, older brother, is a very famous child actor, and this person we're talking about played their famous brother's cousin in a couple of movies. Also played Steve Martin's kid in a couple of films as well, was in the second season of Fargo.
Is this someone who needs to lay off the Pepsi?
Maybe. Yes.
Oh, I'm going to roll the dice here and say it's Kieran Culkin.
Kieran Culkin. That's right. That's right.
Not Rory.
No. Kieran. Ooh. Kieran. Yeah.
Fuller. Layer for.
Yeah, Fuller. He's Fuller. He's Fuller.
You know you always went to bed.
So he was in the first one and then the second one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
He was Steve Martin's kid and father of the bride. He was not the bride. Last one. Was born in 1984. A rapper who loves auto-tune. Was in a Netflix doco, This Is Pop, earlier this year, talking about auto-tuning. I don't think I need any more clues.
Is he on a boat? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my boy T-Pain.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's him. All
that's a good quiz.
His...
T-Pain would be invited to any party ever that I host. He's all just a standing invitation, T-Pain. You're always welcome.
Door's always open for him. After watching that doco, I realized what a great guy he is.
Yeah, he's such a good guy. And like the music aside,
yeah,
any comedian or funny show that comes to him and says, hey, we've had an idea, would you be? Yep.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how silly it makes him look or where the joke is.
Yeah.
He loves comedy and he wants to invest in other people's happiness. I've read interviews with him about it. He does it because he likes to see other people smile. And if doing that, he's got to be the butt of the joke, so be it. It's funny stuff.
I don't know if he has been. But if he hasn't, he should be on Ron Funches' podcast. I think those two
would be
great.
A good one. That would be a very good one.
Mm.
Mm. Mm. He used to pop up on Comedy Bang Bang a lot, both the podcast and the TV show.
Yeah, right.
And he's been on Epic Rap Battles of History playing Stevie Wonder.
I think I've seen that one. Yeah.
It's very good.
I should watch some of those again, though. It's been
they're good.
It's been a couple
they're
of
good.
Years. Yeah.
I have the albums. We listen to them in the car. Shay thinks they're the best.
Yeah, I can imagine Shay enjoying them and knowing all the words to some of them, right?
Yep. Me
she's,
too.
She's a rapping queen.
We like to rap the Burger King versus Ronald McDonald featuring Wendy from Wendy's.
Yeah, I remember that one. That one was very good. Gosh, a lot of that. So much work goes into those. It's
we should have some of these party songs on Friday getting ready for the episode. We'll get ourselves in a pumped up.
We can pump ourselves up, get ready. We implore you to not only come along to Facebook, it's facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchersPodcast. If not, just type it in. Like, just type.
Easy.
12:30 Australian Eastern Standard Time will be the quiz, but it will also be a party. And if you could take, like, maybe buy a cake or some make some cupcakes or whatever, just do some sort of baking and then take photographs and then post them in the comments so everybody else can enjoy. That'd be awesome.
We're going to be doing our very own version of Nailed It.
Yes. Yes.
Everyone, let's make a cake and let's see. And you can buy one. We don't care.
We don't really
care. Post a photo of a cake.
Just do it. I will.
We put in a lot of work on this show. Send one back our way and just take a photo. Just go to Google and do an image search and find a picture of a cake.
We won't know. We'll have no idea.
Whatever.
We'll have no idea. I'm definitely going to say, you're done, like Nicole Byer from Nailed It. Will you do a Jacques accent at any point?
I'd say there's a pretty good chance.
Fantastic. I'm so excited. So that's 12:30 tomorrow, Friday, on our Facebook page. Come along, take part, have your lunch break with us, and bring along a cupcake or a cake or biscuit, cookie, scone. We don't care.
It's a celebration, bitches.
Tom, on that note, thank you very much.
Yes.